It's good to see you again, David, Reacher said.
Likewise. But I wish you were under happier circumstances.
The circumstances just got 50% happier. We thought it was just the two of us. Now it's the three of us.
What have we got?
Very little. You've seen what's in his autopsy report. Apart from that, we've got two generic white men who tossed his office. Didn't find anything because he was mailing stuff to himself in a permanent loop. We found his mailbox and picked up four flash memories, and we're down to the last try at a password.
So start thinking about computer security,
Nagley said. O'Donnell took a deep breath and held it longer than seemed humanly possible. Then he exhaled, gently. It was an old habit. Tell me what words you've tried so far, he said. Nagley opened her notebook to the relevant page and handed it over. O'Donnell put a finger to his lips and read. Reacher watched him. He hadn't seen him in 11 years, but he hadn't changed much. He had the kind of corn-colored hair that would never show gray. He had the kind of greyhound's body that would never show fat. His suit was beautifully cut. In the same way as Nagley, he looked settled and prosperous and successful, like he was making it.
Colfax didn't work. Nagley shook her head. That was our third try.
Should have been your first out of this list. Franz related to icons, gods, people he admired, performances he idolized. Colfax is the only one of these that really fits the bill. The others are merely sentimental. Miles Davis, perhaps, because he loved music, but ultimately he thought music was inessential.
Music is inessential and baseball isn't? Baseball is a metaphor, O'Donnell said.
Any pitcher like Sandy Koufax, a man of great integrity, all alone on the mound, the World Series, stakes high. That's how Franz wanted to see himself. He probably wouldn't have articulated it exactly that way, but I can tell you his password would have to be a worthy repository for his devotion, and it would be expressed in a brusque, masculine fashion, which would mean a surname only.
So what would you vote for?
It's tough, with only one try left. I'd look like a real fool if I were wrong. What are we going to find on there anyway?
Something he felt was worth hiding.
Reacher said, something he got his legs broken for. He didn't give up anything. He drove them into a fury. His office looks like a tornado hit it.
What's our ultimate aim here?
Seek and destroy. Is that good enough for you?
O'Donnell shook his head. No, he said. I want to kill their families and piss on their ancestors' graves.
You haven't changed.
I've gotten worse. Have you changed?
If I have, I'm ready to change back.
O'Donnell smiled briefly. Nagley, what don't you do?
Nagley said.
You don't mess with the special investigators.
Correct, O'Donnell said.
You do not.
Can we get some room service coffee? They drank thick, strong coffee out of the kind of battered, electroplated jugs found only in old hotels. They kept pretty quiet, but each of them knew the others were tracing the same mental circles, shying away from the last attempt at the password, examining the vector, trying to find another avenue forward, failing to, and starting all over again. Finally, O'Donnell put his cup down and said, time to shit or get off the pot. Or fish or cut bait, or however else you want to express it.
Let's hear your ideas.
Nagley said,
I don't have any.
Reacher said, you do it, Dave. You've got something in mind, I can tell.
Do you trust me?
As far as I could throw you. Which would be pretty damn far, skinny as you are. Exactly how far? You'll find out if you screw up. O'Donnell got out of his chair and flexed his fingers and stepped over to the laptop on the desk. Put the cursor in the box on the screen and typed 7 letters. Took a breath and held it. Paused. Waited. Hit enter. The laptop screen redrew. A file directory appeared. A table of contents, big, bold, clear, and obvious. O'Donnell breathed out. He had typed, Reacher. Chapter 18. Reacher spun away from the computer like he had been slapped and said, Oh, man, that ain't fair.
He liked you, O'Donnell said. He admired you.
It's like a voice from the grave, like a call.
You were here anyway.
It doubles everything. Now I can't let him down.
You weren't going to in the first place.
Too much pressure.
No such thing as too much pressure. We like pressure. We thrive on pressure.
Nagley was at the desk, fingers on the laptop's keyboard, staring at the screen.
8 separate files, she said. 7 of them are a bunch of numbers, and the 8th is a list of names. Show me the names, O'Donnell said.
Nagley clicked on an icon, and a word processor page opened. It contained a vertical list of 5 names. At the top, typed in bold and underlined, was Azari Mahmoud. Then came 4 Western names, Adrian Mount, Alan Mason, Andrew McBride, and Anthony Matthews.
Initials are all the same, O'Donnell said. Top one is Arab, anywhere from Morocco to Pakistan. Syrian, Nagley said. That would be my guess.
Last 4 names feel British, Reacher said. Don't you think? Rather than American? English or Scottish?
Significance? O'Donnell asked.
Reacher said, At first glance, I would say one of Franz's background checks came up with a Syrian guy with 4 known aliases, because of the 5 sets of common initials. Clumsy, but indicative. Maybe he's got monogrammed shirts. And maybe the phony names are British because the paperwork is British, which would get around the kind of scrutiny that American paperwork would invite over here.
Possible, O'Donnell said.
Reacher said, Show me the numbers. Nagley closed the word processor document and opened the first of 7 spreadsheets. It was nothing more than a page-long, vertical list of fractions. At the top was 10/12. At the bottom was 11/12. In between were 20-some similar numbers, including a repeated 10/12 and a 12/13 and a 9/10. Next, Reacher said. The next spreadsheet was essentially identical. A long, vertical column starting with 13/14 and ending with 8/9, 20-some similar numbers in between. Next, Reacher said. The third spreadsheet showed more or less exactly the same thing.
Are they dates? O'Donnell said.
No, Reacher said. 13/14 isn't a date, whether it's month, day, or day, month.
So what are they, just fractions?
Not really. 10/12 would be written 5/6 if it was a regular fraction.
Ah, they're like box scores, then.
For the game from hell. 13/14 and 12/13 would imply lots of extra innings, and a 3-figure final score, probably.
So, what are they?
Show me the next one. The 4th spreadsheet showed the same long vertical list of fractions. The denominators were pretty much the same as in the first 3, 12s and 10s and 13s, but the numerators were generally smaller. There was a 9/12 and an 8/13, even a 5/14. O'Donnell said, If these are box scores, someone's slumping. Next, Reacher said. The trend continued. The 5th sheet had a 3/12 and a 4/13. The best was a 6/11.
Someone's heading back to the minor leagues, O'Donnell said.
The 6th list had 5/13 as its best score and 3/13 as its worst. The 7th and last was about the same, varying between 4/11 and 3/12. Nagley looked up at Reacher and said,
You figure it out. You're the numbers guy. And Franz addressed all of this to you, after all.
I was his password, Reacher said, that's all. He didn't address anything to anyone. These aren't messages. He'd have made it clearer if he was trying to communicate. These are working notes.
Very cryptic working notes.
Can you print them out for me? I can't think without seeing them on paper.
I can print them in the business center downstairs. That's why I stay in places like this now.
O'Donnell asked,
why would they trash an office to look for a list of numbers?
Maybe they didn't, Reacher said. Maybe they were looking for the list of names.
Nagley shut down the spreadsheets and reopened the word processor document.
Azari Mahmoud, Adrian Mount, Alan Mason, Andrew McBride, Anthony Matthews. So who is this guy? Reacher said.
Three time zones away, in New York City, it was 3 hours later in the day, and the dark-haired 40-year-old man who could have been Indian or Pakistani or Iranian or Syrian or Lebanese or Algerian or Israeli or Italian was crouching on a bathroom floor inside an expensive Madison Avenue hotel room. The door was closed. There was no smoke detector in the bathroom, but there was an extractor fan. The British passport issued to Adrian Mount was burning in the toilet pan. As always, the inside pages went up easily. The stiff red covers burned slower. Page 31 was the laminated ID page. It burned slowest of all. The plastic curled and twisted and melted. The man used the hairdryer from the bathroom wall at a distance to fan the flames. Then he used the butt end of his toothbrush to stir the ashes and the unburned flakes of paper. He lit another match and went after anything that was still recognizable. 5 minutes later, Adrian Mount was flushed away, and Alan Mason was on his way down to the street in the elevator. Chapter 19. Nagley detoured to the Beverly Wilshire's basement business center and printed out all 8 of Franz's secret files. Then she joined O'Donnell and Reacher for lunch in the lobby restaurant. She sat between the two of them with the kind of look on her face that made Reacher think she was reliving 100 similar meals. And Reacher was doing the same thing himself. But back in the day, they had been increased BDUs, and they had eaten in O-clubs or grimy off-post diners, or they had shared sandwiches and pizza around battered metal desks. Now the déjà vu was corrupted by the new context. The room was dim and tall and stylish, and full of people who could have been movie agents or executives, actors even. Nagley and O'Donnell looked right at home. Nagley was wearing baggy, black, high-waisted pants and a cotton T-shirt that fitted her like a second skin. Her face was tan and flawless, and her makeup was so subtle it was like she was wearing none at all. O'Donnell's suit was gray with a slight sheen to it, and his shirt was white and crisp and immaculate, even though he must have put it on 3,000 miles away. His tie was striped and regimental and perfectly knotted. Reacher was in a shirt, a size too small, with a tear in the sleeve and a stain on the front. His hair was long, and his jeans were cheap, and his shoes were scuffed, and he couldn't afford to pay for the dish he had ordered. He couldn't even afford to pay for the Norwegian water he was drinking. Sad, he had said about Franz when he had seen the strip mall office. From the big green machine to this? What were Nagley and O'Donnell thinking about him? Show me the pages with the numbers, he said. Nagley passed 7 sheets of paper across the table. She had marked them in pencil, top right-hand corner, to indicate their order. He scanned them all, 1 through 7, quickly, looking for overall impressions. A total of 183 proper fractions, not canceled. Proper in that the numerator, the top number, was always smaller than the denominator, the bottom number. Not canceled, in that 10/12 and 8/10 were not expressed as 5/6 and 4/5, which they would have been if the arithmetic convention had been properly followed. Therefore, they were not really fractions at all. They were scores, or results, or performance assessments. They were saying 10 times out of 12, or 8 times out of 10, something happened, or didn't happen.
There were consistently 26 scores on each page, except for the fourth sheet, where there were 27. The scores, or the results, or the ratios, or whatever they were on the first three sheets, looked pretty healthy. Expressed like a batting average or a win percentage, they hovered between a fine 870 and an excellent 907. Then there was a dramatic fall on the fourth sheet, where the overall average looked like a 574. The fifth, sixth, and seventh sheets got progressively more and more dismal, with a 368, a 308, and a 307.